Welcome to the SDA Housing Podcast, brought to you by NDIS Property Australia. Before starting this episode, we need to provide a general disclaimer. Information contained in this podcast is general in nature only. It does not take into account the objectives, financial situation, or needs of any particular person. You need to consider your financial situation and needs before making any decisions based on the information in this podcast. And you should consider seeking independent and professional advice for your personal circumstances. All right, let's begin.
Hello, everybody. My name is Min. I'm your host, co-host today with Ian. And you listen to the SDA Housing Podcast, a show that explains, highlights, guides, and brings awareness about all things SDA in this ever-changing NDIS world. Ian, how are you? Ian's second session today with our potty here. Ian, thank you so much for the last session you had with Heather. I think today a little bit more technical today. We're going to talk about the topic, fee for service. Out there in the marketplace, Ian, you and I see a lot of marketers, agents, wealth creators and all those guys charging a fee to be engaged with by investors who are seeking SDA investment options. What is your feedback on this topic out there, Ian?
That's very interesting you should ask me. What comes to mind immediately is I was talking to a client last week and I mentioned that we did not charge a fee up front, but we were thinking about it, and she expressed shock and surprise that we didn't charge anything and wondered why we might be introducing a fee. And my question to her was, well, what are you getting for the money you've paid so far or that you've been asked to pay? And she said, you know what? I don't know. I don't know what I'm actually getting. And I said, well, look, I've seen things such as memberships being offered, but what's the tangible benefit of that membership? And I've seen enormous costs up front, which hopefully you'd get your value for money, but where is the sweet spot? And what we were saying in our conversation was the reason why we hadn't charged a fee up front is because we wanted to provide the value for the service. And that entails understanding what is required in the industry and from potential investors. Our conversation went on a bit longer, and obviously I could tell you a little bit more. But the end of the conversation, she said she liked what we were thinking of doing, which was providing a tangible product at the end of that. And that's obviously something we can discuss a bit further, isn't it?
Yeah, and a tangible product doesn't mean a house. We're talking about a document or a guide or a report of something rather than just having a you've paid for our service and here's the $5,000 fee and nothing else.
Well, what are you getting from it? Most of the time you pay your fee and it's a membership or it's maybe an offset against another fee somewhere down the line, or that you pay a fee in advance of the vendor of the property paying back some commissions. So tangibility for clients generally is, what is the information and how good is that data? And it's the data that I believe that we can provide that makes us excel in this space.
I want to edit what I just said, modify what I said earlier with the topic here. The topic of this podcast isn't fee for service, it's fee of engagement. So let me be very clear, fee to engage is different from fee for service. Ian?
Yep, yeah. Yep, I'm with you.
So to our listeners out there listening, what I mean by that is a marketer says to you, oh, you know, before you can talk to us and work with us to look at your investment in SDA, you must pay us a $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000 fee.
Sometimes more.
Yep. Could be $30,000, could be $50,000, could be $70,000, right? Before we talk to you, pay us this fee, and then we'll start talking to you. So that's what I mean by a fee to engage. A fee for service is like an accountant, a lawyer, that bill you by the hour as the work progresses. That's totally different.
Everybody's used to that. Yeah. We all expect that.
So the purpose of this podcast is to say, is it viable? Should it be done? Is it fair? Should you even pay for it? Is it value for money? Ian, let's look at the pros and cons here. Let's jump on the other side of the fence and say, let's talk about why they think they can get away with charging these fees to engage. Why are they doing it to begin with?
I guess there's costs of gaining that investor's name and number in the first place, and they're trying to get that back. And there's a lot of people that will be shopping around. They'll be, as they describe them, kicking tires and looking for enough information so that they can go about doing this themselves. So organizations are probably trying to protect their IP, and you can't blame anybody for looking at that as a method to filter out genuine interested parties. However, we've also got to look at it from the investor's perspective as well. So you've got a balance on both sides of that ledger. What are you trying to do as a company, as somebody in the industry? And what are you expecting to get in return if you're an investor looking at this space?
Yeah. Ian, from your experience in the last 2 or 3 years, what do you think is fair value or price to pay to engage as a newbie investor to try and understand more if this is appropriate? What I mean, 70 grand, 80 grand is too much, I think. 1,000 a little too low, I think. What do you think is fair?
It depends on what the investor is expecting in return and what is the cost of making a mistake in this arena. So if you look at it from the perspective of, if I bought an $850,000, $900,000 property and it ended up being in the wrong area, there was no demand or it wasn't built to the specification that was required and there's no support in that process, that's a very, very expensive mistake. So is there really a figure that you can put on the value of getting those answers in advance? And I would say it's quite difficult to put your finger on it, but I would say somewhere in the region of about 1,500 to 2,500 would be reasonable based on the time that's required, the intellectual property that's being offered, and maybe the tangible types of report that you can offer. And I've seen some of the data that you guys put together for clients, from the feasibility studies to, you know, the analysis of the area and demand. And I can imagine the amount of time and effort that goes into producing those. So on a cost basis, I would say that 2.5 is still probably quite cheap, but would be reasonable in the market.
Yeah. Since we've launched this, again, this is a third topic here, which is the fees for reports. So report fees. So fees to engage, fee for service ongoing, and fees for reports are three totally different costings for an investor to consider. So again, back to this topic here. If we were to do this, I think fair value would be $1,500, right? To provide to a client a SDA report, that's number one, a property investment analysis, PIA report, a feasibility analysis, which covers the spreadsheet showing the costings to build a house, the time frame, the holding costs, plus the tenancy mix, plus the net and gross year returns. That would be appropriate, fair for a client.
I like the sound of that last report. One of the things that I had as feedback from clients over the last few years was that they felt sometimes that they were jumping into this type of investment purely on faith and doing it blind. And it was brought up on many, many occasions. What is the holding cost? How do I know what I'm really going to be up for? And how do I make sure that I've got the funds available? I think that last report you mentioned on its own, that would be worth every penny simply because of the fact that you want to make sure that you are not caught short and that you're not going through a stressful endeavor from just not having enough information. Are the other professionals in this process obliged to give you all of that data? And if they're not, where is the client going to get it from?
Interesting. You know, Ian, I had Larissa and I had a meeting 2 weeks ago in the office here. It was a financial planner turning real estate advisor to only do SDA sales. And when I questioned him about this process, he's like, oh, no, I don't give advice. No, I don't give advice. I'm like, dude, you're telling people to invest $1 million into housing. How could you stand behind the word, oh, I need to give advice here, you know. Like, dude, you're encouraging them to spend $1 million in shitty areas. They're going to be empty, probably. And they've blown their life savings because you told them to do so. You're not licensed. You have no experience. And now you claim you're not giving advice. Dude, you're giving advice. Come on.
Absolutely. Even if you're not taking responsibility for it, you are causing those people to jump into something.
So we challenge you, all the listeners out there, if you're getting any form of advice, be it professional, property, SDA, dodgy advice, whatever the advice is, right? Get it in writing. If the person who's giving you the advice, generic or specific, is really, you know, focused on your interests, tell them put it in writing. Put it in writing.
Absolutely. That's your fallback.
Because if they don't put it in writing, they're not accountable. Right, Ian?
Correct. They're not accountable.
So if they don't put it in writing, they're not accountable and they'll always deny it. They can say, I did make that promise. I never said that. I didn't guarantee it. I'm not giving advice.
There's no responsibility, is there?
Yeah. And you know what? Just look at Facebook. Every man and his dog is saying 180 grand rent a year for a four-bedroom HBS. Go on Facebook. Take a look at it all. There are so many people promoting it. And you know what? Those cowboys, and I call them out right now. I know you're listening, right? I know you're listening. You, those cowboys out there, have no idea that that 180, 170 grand rent is not, is highly unlikely is the key word.
So it's not realistic, is it?
Not realistic. They are maximum.
Yep. Maximum. So it's feasible. It's feasible.
It's possible. Yeah. But it's not likely. I want to be very careful with my words here. So don't be fooled by seeing the words 190 grand rent per year. It's maximum. The realistically, it's probably in the 110 to 120 number range, 130 range, because you're assuming 1 to 2 funding, HBS, 2 tenants, high location factor, and fire sprinkler. Yeah, assuming all that is correct, yes, then you'll get the 190 grand, 20 grand rent. Yes, I agree. But not everyone is 1 to 2 and not everyone is HBS. As you know, not everyone is HBS in a wheelchair out there. So back to my point, fees of engagement. Let's go back to our original topic here. So look, we got a value, Ian, a fee to engage. Because if it's empty and zero, it's free, they don't value that advice if it's free. Let's be honest.
Exactly right. Look, yeah. I mean, people do have an underlying understanding that if you don't pay for it, what's it worth?
Yeah.
And we've got to separate ourselves from maybe the other spruikers or as you say, cowboys out there that are not offering anything in return for that fee for engagement.
So look, we're saying it's okay to pay a fee to engage someone. Yes, it's okay. But just ask the question, what am I getting for it? Please show me your scope of works and your deliverables for this fee so I know what I'm getting. You don't want to be in a situation where you've paid $75,000 like we know someone does out there, right? But they'll refund the $35,000 back from the builder later on down the track. Okay, that's cute, yeah. But at least they're very clear with what they're offering and what you're getting back. So project delivery, rebate of commission, okay, fine, that's cool. But for the other people who are getting charged $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 and getting nothing in return, that's something else.
Yeah, it's a different ball game, isn't it? So you go from something that's you're wondering and hoping that you're going to get something in return to actually having something that's going to be in your hands, that's going to be of value to you and possibly value to other people you know that are doing exactly the same thing as you. We know sometimes people are centers of influence, and if you can provide that source of knowledge and data, they're going to share that with other people as well. So, and the more the merrier. The better the data, the better the end result.
Look, everyone has to be commercial. We understand that. But just, first of all, you know what you're paying for. Know what they're going to give you back. What's the cooling off period? Is there a refund policy?
Those are essential. It's essential to have a cooling off period because people don't necessarily know that they're going to work with you or that they would be comfortable working with you. And if there's terms for a refund, then make it fair.
Look, we charge fees for our reports, but they're like $250, you know, $400, $500, $600. That's what we charge. So that's fair for a report. But we actually are delivering a report.
Yep.
We're spending time doing it. In contrast to being charged $4,000 or $5,000 and not getting anything in return, that's totally out.
How many people take up those reports?
Now, we've done probably 30 or 40 in the last 8-9 months. So we do about 1 or 2 a week.
And percentage-wise of the clients?
Funnily enough, people who actually buy property from us, they don't get the reports. But those who think about it get the reports. So it's a random thing for us at the moment. So, but there's some people, they really do the reports. And they're like, I reckon 1/4 of our clients do the report and then they'll proceed after a few months. So it is.
What do you think the reaction would be to the people that under no circumstances wish to pay any type of fee up front? How do you think that will impact the industry or our business in particular?
Well, 4 or 5 years ago, there was no fees being charged for engagement.
Right.
There was none. Now it's become everyone's doing it now.
Common, yeah.
Because they don't want to waste, and I understand, they don't want to waste their time talking to tie kickers who are going to waste their time and just learn and do nothing, all right? So we're a little bit different. We have automation in our business model. We have automated emails going out once a new person is added to our database, follow-up phone calls, We give our database access to free webinars once a month, fortnightly emails going out from our office. So we're continually engaging our database of clients, investors.
And that information will continue to be free online, available to everybody.
But in a way, as you said to us a while ago, Ian, we should charge a nominal fee, not exorbitant fee, a nominal fee, just to ensure that they are getting something in return and seeing a report, data, financial modeling, risks of tenancy, cash flow, just the whole gamut of it all. And maybe we will do that at some point very, very soon in the next month or 2 months, Ian, because it's we know education's good. And if you're serious about it, let's be honest, paying $400 or $500 people shouldn't bat an eyelid over $400 or $500 for a report if it gives you education about how this all works. Yeah.
When I saw what you were offering, I just couldn't believe it was free. And when I heard that not everybody took up that opportunity to take on the data and the reports that you produce, it was almost unbelievable because it's such an amazing resource if you're serious about investing in this space. You need it as a minimum. And I think if we make it part of the package, you are going to get the result you want at the end.
Yes. So in a way, if we do this, we're forcing the hand to be educated.
Yes. Isn't there some kind of offset that they can get through education costs as well?
I'll just deduct that from your salary, Ian. No, look. Let's be honest. People always say to us, "Oh no, we have access to the index data." Do you really? Yes, those quarterly reports are available every 3 months. 3 months in delay. Every 3 months, yes.
Is it mandatory to report the data that's forming those quarterly reports?
I don't know how the government, the NDIA, gets their data. I'm sure it's from their database, but it's still, you know, it's their systems, right? But what I'm getting at with is this. That's not the real data. There's more data, which we pay for as well.
So you have to pay a separate fee for the data on top of what's available in the NDIA's demand.
We pay probably $5,000 a quarter, $20,000 a year.
Wow.
For extra data that's not available to the public.
And why do you do that?
Because we need to know the truth. We need to give the information to the consumers who are investing, to our clients. And that's what we charge. Do you think we charge this $250 or $400 for fun? No, it costs money, it costs time. People in office pumping away data reports, documents and brochures and graphs and analytics here. So, you know, if you think by reading this data on the NDIS website is enough, it is not enough. It is not enough because you don't know what you don't know. So we pay for more data, which is not disclosed to the public from the Housing Hub, the national data, their supply and demand, addendum data, which is you got to pay for this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Quarter. So we pay for it, right? And our job is to deliver professional service, education, and real facts and numbers, not pretend guesses that people seem to say. So we spend a lot of time and effort and focus in education on internal training and analytics. Now, when I say the word analytics to you, Ian, you appreciate it, but if I say it to another mum and dad investor, they won't understand what analytics means. You know? What it really means is financial modeling, feasibility analysis, cash flow analysis, pre-tax, gross yields, vacancy risks, variables in the formulas, all these number crunching that gets done in our software. We built a software 3 years, mate. 3 years of software that we built ourselves that no one else has, by the way, right? I've seen the rubbish that goes out there from other marketers and agents out there, and it's absolute rubbish, right? For them to quote 3 HBSs, $190,000 rent, that's what you're given.
Yeah, and right? It's not qualified.
Yeah. Like, you're not getting $190,000. No way. So, you know, we spend a lot of time on reports and data and research, and we encourage our listeners to engage us. Even if you're buying from another agent from Melbourne or Sydney, we will do a package analysis to recommend or reject it. Now, if you, Ian, you were a buyer and were given a 4-bedroom house in Melbourne to buy for $900,000 from an agent in Sydney, you wouldn't know if it's good or bad or ugly.
No idea.
Yeah. But we could do that for you. Like we are engaged by the investor to analyze the builder, the land estate, the design, the provider, the location, the data, and we will say yay or nay.
I've heard your other podcasts and I've heard the quality of the information, the insider information.
So as a person, as a buyer, Ian, wouldn't you want to have a second opinion?
Oh, yeah.
Professionally, whether the package you're about to buy from another agent, from another builder, is good quality or not. Because you know what? I've seen some absolute rubbish out there, and no one can tell it's rubbish except the people in the game.
Well, the fact that you're offering it to people that would be buying through somebody else and you're providing that quality of information must be a testament to the credibility that you have as an organization providing that data in the first place.
And how does a mum and dad know whether a builder is good or not?
They have no idea.
They have no idea.
No, it's trust. It's based on, hey, they're good.
So you're trusting it's a million dollar bet that your builder is going to survive the next 12 months. Is that what they're...
That's exactly what the industry is like. I mean, how do you know it except for what you've been told?
The bank doesn't know. The lawyer doesn't know.
But they haven't got access to that.
No one knows.
No access to that kind of data.
So, you know, there's got to be someone out there. And we're not the seer, S-W-E-R, the seer of the construction industry, but we have a good finger on the pulse as to who to work with and who to avoid.
Yes.
Like, we know, right? There's a lot, every day there's more and more builders contacting us, asking to come into the game, you know. There are ways we analyze in, and I know we're going off topic here about fees for engagement, fee for service, but I want to finish off with this. Like, it's very easy for us to look at someone, a brand or company, to tell, nah, all good, yes, no. Simple things like, how long have they been incorporated for? Are they actually a builder or a nominee builder, which is a fall guy, by the way.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, if a guy rocks up on a Zoom call with me and they're wearing a suit and they say to me, oh, I'm a builder, I said, well, no, you're not. You're a douchebag in a suit. Have you held a hammer before in your life? No. Then why do you call yourself a builder? You're not a builder.
Yeah.
Show me the real guy who's a builder. The fall guy, right? So 2, social media presence. 3, pricing. 4, word of mouth in the street. 5, okay? I watched the movie on the weekend with my kids, Ian. It was called Kung Fu Panda 4.
There's a 4?
Yeah. And the villain said, street rules. Rule number 1 in the street, trust nobody.
Trust but verify, maybe.
And rule number 2, somebody always gets hurt, right? And number 3, when you do get hurt, no one cares. So those 3 rules right there apply to SDA.
They do, don't they?
All right. So be very, very careful who you do business with.
Caveat emptor. Yeah. I'll beware.
So red flag number 1 is the fees of engagement, which is this topic here.
Yeah.
If they charge you a 4, 5, 6 grand fee or 30 grand fee or 50 grand fee or 70 grand fee, make sure you're getting something for it. Just make sure, because you don't want to be stuck in a situation where you've just paid 4 or 5 grand and you lost it for no reason, which could have been a 75-inch TV, LG, Sony, whatever. Goodbye.
To watch Kung Fu Panda 4 on.
So, look, I don't want to go that's my thoughts, Ian. What, do you have anything to add before we finish up, Ian, on this fees of engagement?
No, I think it all adds up to the credibility of the organization, the data you're providing, the networks you've created, the value for that service and the perception of value as well. And if you're charging a fee and providing products, tangible reports and data, you have to actually provide something of quality and credibility, and you're putting your name to something. So I think that's a good indication of your professionalism and your standing in the industry.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Ian, so much for coming on our show again as number 2.
Pleasure.
I'm around. What should be our next get-together podcast topic that you and I do in the next month or so?
Ah, that's a hard one. There's so many areas that you would want to delve into in more depth.
Maybe some case studies of clients, examples you actually are working, without mentioning their names, people you're actually working on actual clients you're working on. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Looking at the opportunities that you guys have been able to offer to clients, and how we were able to assist those investors find the opportunity that works perfectly for their portfolio building process.
Ian, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you are subscribed and following us so you can keep in the loop with all of our upcoming episodes. We would really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a written review, and to share this podcast with those that could benefit. Until next time, catch you on the next episode.